Well, thank you for being here this evening. Tonight we are going to turn to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm 8, if you'd turn with me there. And we're just going to share a few wonderful truths from the Word of God as we prepare our hearts to worship the Lord and to fellowship around His table this evening. Psalm chapter number 8. Let's read verses 1 to 9 as we begin. Psalm chapter 8. And please follow along as I read from verses 1 to 9. Verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, reveal yourself to us in a more personal and a greater way than we know. Father, we pray that we would leave this place, Lord, tonight. Lord, with praise upon our hearts and upon our lips. Lord, help us to look to you, Lord, to strengthen us, to build us up. But most of all, help us to give you the praise that is due unto your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you can see in your Bibles, perhaps Psalm chapter 8 was written by David. Like many of the Psalms, David penned this Psalm under the inspiration of God. And it's obvious in verse number 3, isn't it, why David wrote this Psalm. In verse number 3, we see he says, "When I consider thy heavens." Obviously, David was looking up. Amen. He was looking at the heavens. He was beholding the glory of God. And as he was looking up at the heavens, the Lord inspired David to write these words. And these words are words of praise. These words are words of worship. Now, it's thought that during this time that this psalm was written, it was the time of harvest, and it was common during biblical days that the workers would spend their nights in the field. They would work in the fields all day, but also all night they would spend in the fields. They would perhaps, like the shepherds of old, when the angels visited them at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were guarding their sheep by night, and the farmers were sleeping in the fields by night, and they had plenty of time and wonderful opportunities to consider the heavens, to look up at the stars, and to consider the God of the universe. And no doubt, David wrote this psalm as a psalm of praise. You can imagine David, perhaps still working for his father. David lying under the stars on a clear night, taking in all the glories of heaven when God used him to pen this wonderful psalm. Now, as David looked up and gazed at the night sky filled with stars, what is it that David saw? Let me ask you a question. What is it that you see when you look up in the evening? When you behold the immense universe before us, what is it that you and I see? You see, there is much to be seen of God in the visible. There is much to be seen of His invisible glory in His visible creation. And as David penned these words, he was led in his heart to praise the Lord. He was led in his heart to rejoice in his God. When was the last time you looked up and rejoiced in your God? Well, we're going to do that for a few minutes this evening as we look to God's word and look at three wonderful truths that God shows us in his word. As David looked up, what are three things that David saw? Well, notice first of all, he saw his creator God, his creator God. Verse number 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Notice David begins with an outpouring of praise to God. The word excellent means great. It means majestic. It means famous. Why is God famous? Why is his name so excellent? Because of his glory in creation. Because of his glory in the heavens. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1, as you know, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In other words, as we behold the atmospheric heavens, the clouds, as we behold every sunrise, as we behold every sunset, as we behold the stars and the moon and the planets, as we behold the stellar heavens, the Bible tells us that they declare each day the glory of God. Every day they announce the majesty of God. They celebrate the greatness of God. Friends, man has no excuse when it comes to faith in God. He has declared his glory through his very own creation. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. You know, the astronaut John Glenn, speaking about his first view of Earth from the space shuttle Discovery, said this. He said, to look out the window, as I did that first day, to look out at this kind of creation and to not believe in God, to me, is impossible. Why? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 tells us, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, that is mankind, are without excuse. Friends, the world is without excuse. Why? Because the invisible things of God are clearly seen by the things which are made. You know, every time we look up at the heavens, we ought to be encouraged in the greatness and the glory of our God. Last week, my family and I got to spend some time out of town. And because, you know, when you get out of town, perhaps out in the bush, or you get out somewhere away from all the city lights, that's when you see the stars at their most clear. Amen. You see the greatness and the beauty of God's stellar heavens. You get to see every star as clear as they can be seen. And we just were amazed at the glory of God. And what a wonderful privilege it is to behold his infinite glory, his majesty, his greatness. As we see the order of God's universe, as we see the greatness of his majesty, as we see his wisdom in how God has constructed his creation, we notice in Psalm chapter 8, in verse number 1, the Bible says he has set his glory above the heavens. You see, if you and I are amazed and in awe of what we can see, can you imagine the glory of God that we cannot see? The Bible says he has set his glory above the heavens. Friends, the heavens declare the glory of God, but there is much more that is unseen that one day will be seen. You see, the stars above, the planets, the moon and the stars, they are just a preview of the majesty and the wonder of God and the glory of God. He has set his glory above the heavens. There is much more yet to be seen. Amen. And that's exciting for the Christian. You see, when we look above, as Christians, we ought to be excited. Friends, everything that we see in the night sky is just a foretaste of that which is to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Friends, God has prepared much greater things than you and I can see in the heavens. When you and I look up, we ought to behold the greatness of our God, the glory of our God. That is what David saw. That is what led him to pen the word of God and to say, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Notice verse number 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You know, God has many enemies today. They are the ones who stare up at the heavens and say that there is no God. That is a defiance and a willful act of rebellion against God. For we are without excuse. God has many enemies today. But the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. You know, the faith of our children is simple. It's a simple faith. It's an uncorrupted faith. And we need to encourage our children to be in awe and amazed at the glory of God. Amen. It will do well for our children to be brought out into the night sky at time and simply look up and allow them to ask questions about God and to be amazed at the glory of God's creation. For out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained strength. Let me encourage you to teach your children about God. You know, my little Amy likes to say, but I cannot see him. I cannot see God. Yes, that's true. But we can see the glory of God in the things that he has made. We can see the wonder of God in his creation. And David beheld his majestic creator God. And we need to be careful not to forget to look up. Amen. So often we take out the trash at night time and we don't look up. We don't see the glory of God. We don't stop for a moment to behold his majesty. It'd be good for us to do so. Notice David, first of all, worshipped his Lord. David saw his creator God. Notice he saw his caring God. His caring God. Verse number 3, look with me there, stay with me. David said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You see, as David looked up at the starry heavens, and he took in the majesty and the beauty of God, he thought about how God took personal care in his creation. That's why the Bible says, when I consider thy heavens in verse 3, the work of thy fingers. We know that this is just a description of God's care in creation. We know that this is a description of God's personal care. You know, when God created the universe, he did so intimately. He did so personally. It wasn't an accident. There was no big bang. Amen. The Lord spoke the universe into existence. That's why the universe is the word we use, a universe, a single spoken verse. Amen? A single spoken sentence. God spoke the universe into existence, but he did so with love. He did so with care. He did so meaningfully. He did so lovingly. His personal involvement is seen in the wonder of God's creation. Notice Psalm 147. Psalm 147, turn there to the end of the book of Psalms for a moment. Psalm 147, notice God's personal care in the wonder of his creation. Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5. Why don't we read these verses aloud together, shall we? Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5, on 2. 1, 2. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Imagine trying to count the number of stars in the night sky. You know, the Guide Star Catalog is the first full star catalog created by NASA for navigation in outer space. And it contains over 945 million recorded stars. But it is estimated that there are 100 billion more that have not yet been recorded. And the Bible tells us in God's creation, not only does he know the number of stars he created, but the Bible tells us he calleth them all by their names. He has them named. You know, we try to name planets and stars and strange decimal point numerics are assigned to different visible creations of God. And yet God has named and numbered the stars. His understanding is infinite. Can you see God's personal care in his creation? Now here's the point back in Psalm chapter number 8. Let's turn back there. As David considered the immensity and the wonder of God's universe and the intimate care that God placed into his own very creation, he was amazed in verse number 4. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him. You know, when we look up at the night sky, have you ever felt so small in relation to the immensity of the universe? And that is how David felt. As he looked up, he basically said, Lord, I'm just a speck of dust on another speck of dust in this universe. Lord, what are we? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And yet as he observed the night sky, David was encouraged to realize that, yes, God is mindful of man. God is not only personally involved in his creation, but he loves and is intimately watching over his personal creation, mankind. The word mindful in verse number 4 means to remember. It means to think about. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You see, though God intimately knows every star that is in the universe, though God has named them by name, he's not thinking about the stars. He's not thinking about the sun, the moon. He's not thinking about faraway galaxies. The Bible tells us that what is man that thou art mindful of him? Whom is God thinking about? Friends, he's thinking about you. He's thinking about me. He remembers us. He loves us. He created us in his own likeness, in his own image, created he mankind. Friend, we are made in the image of God. We are made to fellowship with God. We are his most personal, beloved creation. He created us to have a living relationship with him, to know him, to rejoice in his love and his care. Now, tragically, mankind sinned, and sin separated man from God. But thank God, God in his mercy and love declared the greatness of his care and love, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross to pay for your sins and mine. Friends, that was the greatness of the expression of God's love. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, he is mindful of us. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, do you know that God intimately, lovingly cares for you? Has there been a time that you received the love of God in your hearts? Has there been a time that the love of God was shed abroad in your heart through salvation in Jesus Christ? Amen. Has there been a time that you repented of your sin and you turned to the Lord Jesus by faith and received him as your personal Savior? Friend, if you have, the Bible tells us you ought to know the care of God. You ought to know how much he loves you because of the fact that he saved you from your sin. You see, as David considered the heavens, he thought to himself, Lord, in the immensity of your creation, what are we? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him? And the greatest visitation was the time that God came to this earth, came in the flesh of a man, that he might be the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins, to redeem us back to God. Friend, if you ever have a doubt that God cares for you, next time you look up at the stars, understand that in the immensity of the universe, God sees you. God sees your life. God sees your soul. And he loves you. Amen. He is mindful of man. He remembers you. And if you and I ever get to the place where we think that God has forgotten me, let me encourage you to go to the Word of God and to realize that God is much greater than your feelings of doubt and fear. Friend, he loves you more than that which you can know. And that's what amazed David as he penned this psalm. What a wonderful comfort for the believer. What a wonderful reason to praise him and to remember the Lord Jesus this evening. In a moment, we're going to partake in the Lord's table. And we're going to remember him as a church. We're going to remember his broken body, his sufferings for us, how he suffered in the flesh. We're going to remember his shed blood, how he shed his holy, sinless blood to atone for your sins and mine. He is worthy of our worship. Amen. Why? Because of his care. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Well, David firstly saw his Creator God. Secondly, he saw his caring God. Notice lastly, he saw his crown in God. From verses 5 to 9, David says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas." The overall thought in these verses is that God has given man the divine honour, the divine privilege to rule over his personal creation. Now, when you consider the infinite wisdom and the care and the meticulous detail that God placed into his creation, what an amazing reality that God has put his creation in our care. That God has allowed mankind to have dominion over his very own creation. Have you ever thought about that? You know, you and I take that for granted every time we walk into the supermarket and we buy some food and we just take for granted what's there. You and I take for granted that God has crowned us with glory and honour. He has given us dominion over his very own creation. What an amazing reality. What an amazing thought that God in his love would do such a thing that would give man honour and glory. You know, we have much to praise the Lord for. We have much to be thankful for that we take for granted. You know, so often as Christians, we can get caught up shouting out and fighting for our rights. You know, that's unfair. You know, that I don't deserve to be treated that way. And I have my rights. Brethren, we have no rights. We have no rights. We deserve the only right that you and I have is the right to be judged by a holy God for our wicked sins. And yet every benefit and blessing we have is a privilege from God. Amen. We have so much reason to praise him, amen, as David did. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. What a privilege we have to serve the Lord. What a privilege we have to have dominion over the works of his hands, to rule over his creation, over the sheep and the oxen, the beasts of the field. As David was tending to his father's sheep, as David was a shepherd, one day God would use David to be a shepherd of people, to tend to the flock of Israel. And I'm mindful that as Christians, God has given us a divine privilege to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We have the honour and glory. We have that crown of honour as Christians to be ambassadors of the Lord, to be servants of the Most High God, to be servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have that wonderful privilege. And God ought to be praised for that which he has already given us. See, there's much to praise the Lord for. If we would simply look up. Amen? Amen. If we would simply look up. Let me encourage you, next time you're discouraged, take a stroll outside. Put on some AeroGuard. That will help. And take a stroll outside and look up at the night sky and rejoice in God. Amen. Rejoice in your Creator. Rejoice in the one that cares for you so much that in the light of the immensity of God's universe, he sees you looking up. He sees your life. He sees your needs. He sees his will for your life. Let me encourage you to rejoice in the love that God has and the benefits and the blessings that he's already crowned us with. Let us serve him willingly with a wholehearted heart. As we close, look with me in the last verse, verse number 9. David repeats himself in the last verse. Notice he ends where he began. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Notice as David praised God, he wasn't asking God for stuff, was he? He wasn't asking God for things that he needed. No, he was declaring praise to God. He ended where he began. Friend, when was the last time that you praised the Lord? When was the last time that you said, "Thank you, Lord. Lord, I praise you and I bless you for your greatness, for your care, for your love. Thank you for who you are in my life." I think we all are due for an extra dose of some praise, amen, in our lives towards our wonderful Lord. And let me encourage you to take time to behold the glory of God. Take time to consider the heavens. How do we do that? Well, We behold his glory in his word. We behold his glory in creation and in our lives. Take some time this week to rejoice in the Lord. And as we open our hearts and prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, let's be more like David of old, who was a man who had a heart for God. When he saw God's creation, he saw God. He didn't just see sparkly lights in the sky. He saw the wonder of his God. And that's whom we ought to see as we behold God's glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the wonderful words that you have given to us that reveals, Lord, the beauty of your love, beauty of your infinite wisdom and power and glory. Lord, help us, we pray, to live by faith and to see you as you are in those things that are visible. Lord, help us, Lord, to be excited about that which is invisible, which will be revealed on that day when faith shall become sight. Lord, help us, we pray, to serve you with a willing heart and glorify you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, if you'll please come with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, let's be reminded this evening of the early church and those who partook in the Lord's table. Acts chapter number 2, notice verses 41 to 42. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Here we see the early church worshipping the Lord. Who were they made up of? Well, notice verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." These were not just anyone, anyone off the street in the church. No, they had gladly received God's word. When Peter was preaching at Pentecost, they believed the gospel. They received the message of salvation and they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. These were those who were not trusting in a religion to get them to heaven. They were not trusting in partaking perhaps in some unleavened bread or some pure grape juice to cleanse them of their sins and make them more holy and acceptable in God's sight. No, they had received the blood of Jesus Christ. They had been washed from their sins once and for all. They had received his word. They had received his word, and upon their reception of Christ as Savior, the Bible says that they were baptized. They were baptized. The word baptized means to immerse. And that's the only kind of baptism you'll find in the Bible. And that is biblical baptism, not sprinkling. And this is the first step of obedience to the Lord. Who were they that partook in the Lord's table? Well, they were saved. These were Christians. Not only were they saved, but they had been biblically baptized, the Bible says, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were added to the church, the local New Testament church. The Bible says in verse number 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." Here at Coastline Baptist Church, we believe that we wholeheartedly hold to the doctrines of the faith, to the doctrines once given to the saints, the apostles' doctrine. And if you're here this evening and there's been a time in your life where you personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that Christ is your Savior and your home is heaven, and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you've been biblically baptized, and if you are in complete agreement with our doctrines and practices here at Coastline Baptist Church, we would like to invite you to partake with us in the Lord's table as we remember him. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. As the Apostle Paul teaches on the subject of the Lord's table, notice one more need. Saved, baptized, added to the church, in unity, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice also a time of self-examination, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. The Bible says, "But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." In short, the church in Corinth had some Christians in the church who were indulging in sin, who were not willing to confess their sins and get right with God. And Paul was challenging them that before you take the Lord's table, you need to make sure you examine your heart. You need to make sure you examine yourself. You see, the Lord's table is a time of remembrance. But as we were reminded this morning, that our God is a consuming fire. He is a holy God. He is a God of righteousness. He deserves to be reverenced and honored. We are to serve Him acceptably out of godly fear and reverence. And so these believers were making light of the Lord's table. They weren't approaching the Lord's table worthily. Not that they weren't saved, but they weren't reverencing the Lord as they should because of unconfessed sin. Now, God doesn't expect us to be sinless, because that means none of us would be able to partake tonight. But the reality is, God expects us to be open with Him. God expects us to have a clean heart, as clean as it can be. Just like the psalmist of old, who said, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways, and see if there be any wicked thing in me." Friend, in a moment we'll have a time of self-examination. Let me encourage you to spend some time with the Lord, preparing your heart for the Lord's table. God has ordained a time for His church to remember Him, to remember His sacrifice, His sufferings, to remember His sinless blood that purchased our salvation. Of course, the elements themselves cannot do anything for us spiritually, but remembering the Lord enables us to honor Him with our lives, enables us to worship Him this evening, and to reverence His name. Let me encourage you to examine your heart this evening as we prepare for the Lord's table.